All right, everybody, welcome back to the Human Podcast.
Your boy feeling better. Yeah, you know, I got whatever COVID bullshit they said was coming for me. Didn't even take away my sense of taste or nothing. Didn't slow me down. I still went to work.
Yeah.
But my truck is back in the shop, which kind of sucks. But that's fine. Whatever. But we do have a new showtime. So if you are in the Colorado Springs area, you can come to the Funny Pages at 506 West Colorado Avenue. There's free parking in the back, and at 6 o'clock every Sunday, I host an open mic comedy show. And from noon to five, I believe they're doing karaoke. I don't know who's hosting that. He just said that they're doing karaoke. So if you want to come out and sing, come out and sing. It's going to get really depressing when, like, no one shows up to sing. Like, you have to have, like, a group of five to really, like, you know, get it rocking and rolling.
I would assume so.
But, yeah, if we can get, like, you know, people to show up and then, you know, just free parking. That way people can go to this show on Sunday and then walk over to the other two shows on Sunday and then, you know, come back and get their car and they just have to, like, walk 2 miles. That's fine. So, other than that, this is your boy Alex Truck. We got my wife, not truckish at all.
Thank you.
We got Courtney over there.
I'm right here.
Yeah, she probably has, like, some silly filter still on. Yep, the cat filter. And let's just jump right into some fucking news. Because guess what, millionaires? The IRS plans to crack down on 1,600 millionaires to collect millions of dollars in back taxes.
So where is all that money going to go?
Oh, into the fucking government's pocket, of course. You know, the IRS announced on Friday it's launching an effort to aggressively pursue 1,600 millionaires and 75 large business partnerships that owe hundreds of millions of dollars in past due taxes. The IRS commissioner, Daniel Werfel, said in a boost with federal funding and the help of artificial intelligence tools, the agency has new means of targeting wealthy people who have cut corners on their taxes. But if you pay your taxes on time, it should be particularly frustrating when you see that the wealthier filers are not. He said that 1,600 millionaires who at least owe $250,000 back and 75 business partnerships that have assets of roughly $10 billion on average were targeted for compliance efforts, which is great because there's way more than 1,600 millionaires. So, like, they know who these fucking millionaires are, and they're like, you.
I'm not quite sure what this amounts to, considering I'm not getting a portion of this money back. Like, it's just going to go into the government's pocket. So they just want a little pat on the back for being like, oh, look, we're going after rich people now.
Good. I would go after these fucking rich assholes.
Are they going to take less taxes for me because of this?
No.
Then I don't give a fuck. They just want a pat on the back.
You get fucking a huge tax break from me. Well, I mean, this year you're not, because, like, all that money is going to go to Burning Man. If we can go. It's just going to sit in an account.
So if we can't buy tickets, do I get some of it?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
You get half of it.
Yes.
Yeah, if, like, it turns out that we can't go to Burning Man, then yes. And what's crazy is, like, Burning Man fucking, like, got flooded the fuck out. And, you know, then, the next day I had people fucking hit me up like, Alex, did you get trapped in Burning Man? Holy shit. I thought you were at Burning Man. I thought you were trapped there. Oh, man.
Oh, you have all these friends who cared about you.
No, they're like, fuck, you're back. I thought you were trapped at Burning Man. Like, that was more their style. But I hope that they use AI to kind of like, you know, get back like $250,000 from like these multimillionaires. Like, yeah, fine, here's your money.
So are they going to do anything good with that money? Like,
no, they haven't done anything good with any of the money we've ever given them.
What is the point of all this?
What is the point of taxation? It's so they can build roads and then fucking pocket 90% of it and say we're fucking building roads with your fucking tax dollars.
As they pick up big flashy signs and cut off 3 out of 4 lanes.
I hate fucking road construction workers. They're the worst fucking people on planet Earth.
Your tax dollars at work.
I would much rather see these guys on the side of the road with signs that say, you know, God bless, anything helps. I still won't give them money. But it's like every time I see these fucking pieces of shit, I'm like, yeah, you know, anything helps. Here's a fucking job application. Just, you know, I just want to like hold job applications like in my fucking car. Anything helps. God bless. Here's a job application. Look at a job.
Fucking brilliant.
It's like, well, I fucking would piss hot for drugs. It's like, here's fake piss. Go get a job.
Like, they're doing fucking construction on the sidewalk, not even road, on the sidewalk right outside my job. And so they've closed off 3 out of 4 lanes. So it's super fucking bitchy. And every morning I pull in and there's just like all these dudes all standing around. They got their coffee in their hands, just shooting the shit. Oh, and they're parking in my parking lot for my clinic, which means there are so many trucks in there. Like, none of us can park in the parking lot because we need to leave space open for our clients. So we're having to park in the old folks' home and walk across the street.
No, tell them to leave. Tell them they cannot fucking park there.
My God, it's so frustrating.
It's your fucking parking lot. You can be like, you're not fucking doing construction work here.
We did actually talk to the landlady about it, and she told us to fuck off, basically.
No, you tell them directly, fuck off. Stab their tires. Fucking stab them. They're pieces of shit.
It's so
like I don't care how many hours of construction you work, you're never going to ever see your kids again. You know, go home, drink your alcohol, and fucking contemplate suicide, dude. Fuck you.
So we're like right next to an old folks' home, right? So like a tiny portion of our clients are literally the people who live in the old folks' home across the street with their cats. So like, I have been waylaid twice now walking to my car by clients who know me because they literally just walk across the street and I'm parked in their parking lot and now they want to come talk to me about their cat.
Yeah. Not like, fucking block them in. Just be like, oh, that sounds tough. That you're fucking blocked in. Maybe you shouldn't fucking park here.
Like, I don't know why I have to park there anyway.
They don't. They can fucking park in the fucking 3 lanes that they fucking blocked off.
Oh my God. Jesus. You were so right.
Stab their fucking tires. Like this would fucking infuriate me if this happened. Like, they literally chip sealed my entire fucking, you know, like, where I work. They chip sealed the entire fucking lot, like where all the trucks park and everything. Did that in 2 days. Like Saturday, Sunday, and then Labor Day was Monday. And like they did it Saturday, Sunday. Boom. Like, hey, don't park here. And like, boom, they got it all fucking done. Quick, fast, and in a hurry.
What? Legit.
Painted, done.
Legitness.
I'm like, cool. You guys fucking win the bid on everything else. You guys can go do all the rest of the fucking road work. I don't want fucking ANS fucking construction to do any more goddamn road work here in Colorado. And if you live here in Colorado, you know ANS construction because they're the ones that fucking work 6 months past when the sign said they were going to be fucking done and then do a shitty job and it has to get redone fucking a year later anyway.
Yep.
I fucking hate that company with every fiber of my fucking being. ANS, I'm calling you out. You're a trash company, and you should fucking get sued for every fucking penny you have. But enough of that. I honestly hope that fucking, you know, this whole fucking thing is, you know, 75, you know, business partnership. I hope ANS is one of them. I hope they fucking, you know, lose all their goddamn fucking money. I hate road construction workers. They're the laziest fucking pieces of shit on the planet. Over and over and over. I'll say this every fucking day. Like, if someone's like, oh, yeah, I work on roads. I'm like, oh, so you're a lazy piece of shit. I'll fucking call them out. They're like, no, I work hard. I'm like, you do not work hard.
Mm-mm.
You're a lazy, lazy, lazy piece of shit. And you should feel bad. In fact, give me $20 right now. Give me $20 for wasting my fucking time. I'll bully the fuck out of them. Like, leave.
Well, I mean, half the time, aren't they underpaid or no?
No, they're paid wildly well. You make 25. Really? The person that holds the stop sign, they're making $25 an hour for holding like a stop sign that turns and says slow and stop. That person is making 25 an hour. So, yeah, no. They're fucking wildly over fucking paid for doing fucking do nothing bullshit fucking work. And I want to see them fucking homeless. I want to see these guys on the fucking street begging for change. I'm like, get a fucking real job. And okay, I won't fucking condemn every fucking road construction worker.
The average pay for a construction worker in Colorado Springs is $21 an hour. So they're still making more than me.
For a construction worker?
For
what
construction
is
worker.
Road construction.
Oh.
Martin Marietta, fucking across the street, I already know what they hire their water trucks at because I looked at it.
How much are they hiring for?
Like 27, 28.
Damn, that's nice.
Starting. But yeah, fuck them. But New Mexico and North Dakota.
No, for road constructor, it's 17 an hour.
No, they make way more than that. Because trust me, I know fucking meth heads that work there and they showed me their paychecks.
I'm just looking at the website.
However,
they're making that piss poor amount of money. That makes me feel better.
I hope like they fucking get stabbed every day. I hope people throw fucking glass beer bottles at their fucking heads. Like, they're at the same level as deer. Like, anytime I see, like, oh, road construction worker was killed on the road, good. You're on the wrong side of the fucking cones, you brain-dead retard. Go smoke more meth and maybe you'll fucking come back to life. But North Dakota and New Mexico, you guys have excellent road construction crews. You guys actually, like, they work so fucking fast. I've seen them do an entire road construction thing in between fucking days I go there. Within 24 hours, they get in, put up their cones, rip up the road, repave it, repaint it, get the cones out, gone. And I'm like, oh, wow. Literally, in Colorado, over on Highway 17, there was a sinkhole that what they did, what the road construction crew did, was put a stick in it and then eventually put cones that go around it.
Very effective.
And they had that up for like 2 months. Well, they did fucking nothing. And then just had like a stoplight, you know, green light, red light, stoplight, did fucking nothing. And then finally they like filled it in with some dirt that they got from the side of the road. And, you know, then they still have the cones up. You know, this is month 3. And then they finally are like, you know, put some sand and like gravel and shit and like kind of like smooth it out. They didn't repave it at all. They didn't put like more fucking asphalt over the top. They just put some more fucking dirt and then like got rid of the cones. Like, it's good. This is the fucking work. Like, if you had an employee that did this sort of work for you, I would fire them immediately.
Oh, yeah.
I would be like, you are so goddamn fucking fired. Get the fuck off my job site. Why the fuck are you here? Ugh. People in RVs, deer, and road construction workers. My biggest three fucking pet peeves. So, yeah. Ugh. Next. Police rush to reports of a ritual mass murder. So, when a yoga teacher turned out the lights towards the end of one of her classes in Britain this week, her hope was to encourage peaceful relaxation. What followed could not be further from her intention. Soon after the class was over, A massive police siren shattered the peace as officers raced towards the venue where the class was being held. They were responding to a call from a member of the public worried that there had been a mass killing in the studio in a small English coastal town of Chapelle St. Leonard's.
What the fuck?
Millie Law, who runs Unity Yoga, was teaching the class at the North Sea Observatory in the village, which also doubles as a communal space, art gallery, and exercise studio. The Seaside Cafe at the observatory described the incident on Wednesday afternoon as a Facebook post. If any of you heard the massive police sirens at the chapel at 9:30 p.m. last night, please be reassured. We were on our way to the observatory after someone had reported a mass killing in our building, having seen several people laying on the floor,
oh,
which actually turned to be out of yoga class and meditation.
With the lights off.
Mm-hmm. Which is hilarious. Like, I feel bad for the idiot that fucking called that in.
I do feel bad for that individual as well.
They're like, there's been a mass killing. They're all dead. And they're like, namaste. Like, oh no, they're not. They're like wildly not dead. Like that one cough. Fuck. Oh fuck, the police are coming. Shit. Shit. Like the police like show up, you know, like, hey, so I might have made a goof. You know, I might have messed up. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if everyone's already dead, the police don't have to rush there. I'd feel like, you know, just like one like paddy wagon that they can just pile the bodies into, and like, would it be great? Is if
I think
like,
it's an armed force to capture the murderer. Like, it's a lot easier to catch a dude if you have five people versus one. I assumed the murderer was a dude. I feel bad now.
What are the fucking British police gonna do? Capture him with apologies? You know, use their giant fucking weird teeth to fucking beat him to death? I don't even think they have guns over there.
No, they have their batons. And yes, they have guns.
Eh. But yeah, that's ridiculous. God damn.
I feel bad.
It's like, I am not relaxed. Like, they like start like carrying him out on stretchers. Like, I'm not dead. I'm in a yoga class. Like, quiet, dead person. This one's still alive. Zombie! Bang, 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 bang. But, like, the rest of them are just, like, laying there, like, shit, that one fucking. It's like, that one's a zombie, too. Boom, bang, bang, bang. It's like, the rest of them are just, like, play dead. They're like, oh, just get into the morgue. Just get into the morgue. This one's thinking thoughts. Bang, 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 bang. But yeah, sorry, fucking, you know, this is what you get for fucking believing in crystals and karma. Mm-hmm. Now, how awesome would it be if, like, they were all really dead? Then I'd feel really, like, I skipped over the fucking story originally because I just saw mass murder.
With like, police and like, yeah, that's
I'm
not
like,
new news.
I'm like, let's not fucking do another mass murder fucking story today. And then like, I read it. I'm like, oh, okay. It's a goof. Over in Chicago, someone put up nude beach signs, which is amazing.
Yes.
So
wait, Chicago's on a bay?
No.
Okay.
Chicago is in Illinois.
Okay.
They have like a lake.
Oh, it's like a lake. Okay. But it's still amazing.
So yeah, over at Rogers Park. That was
too bad it couldn't be Johnson.
Johnson Park. designated Loya Beach as a nude beach, which was removed by the Chicago Park District over the weekend. Royer Park beachgoers headed to the lakefront over this Labor Day weekend and spotted a new sign at Loya Beach that read, "Nude Beach, pass this sign." This sign attached to a post also included official Chicago Park District seal. And I imagine that there was just naked people there.
In Chicago, like, isn't it cold?
Not right now, no. It's windy. But yeah, it was just
Wendy is cold.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, they just had like a fun little sign there. And like I just like imagine like some young kid saw his first pair of tits. He's like, yes. You know, 12 years old, like just like some woman's like, yeah, whatever, it's a nude beach. Pulls out her titties. He's like, yeah. And then like goes to school like on Monday or on Tuesday. He's like, guys. So I was over at fucking, you know, the Rogers Park. Saw a pair of titties.
Okay, now gender reverse it.
Oh my god, guys! So, like, men apparently have, like, these disgusting hairy balls. And, like, a small little fucking noodle on top. I don't know what that's about. It's like a little macaroni noodle. And it's just like... He kept getting in the water, and I didn't want the hairy balls. Like, I don't know how far out they float.
They float?
She doesn't know. She's a 12-year-old girl. I didn't want them to touch me, so I told my mom I wanted to go home while crying. Good job, Chicago. You fucking did it. But that makes me want to fucking put these signs everywhere.
Are your balls actually buoyant, though? Do they float?
No. They don't.
Why don't they float?
Because they're not full of air. They're denser than fucking water.
I suppose.
It's like, why doesn't blood float? It's full of fat. It should float all to the surface. But nope, just the fat will float to the surface if you give it enough time.
Yeah. Centrifuges.
But good news for Courtney, California moves to decriminalize the use of magic mushrooms and other natural psychedelics.
Woo!
Yeah. It's so weird. But, like, I heard someone's trying to stop it.
Yeah, always. This is California. They're like, hey, let's all fucking, you know, do something cool. And someone's like, I don't like cool things. I like to be miserable in my state and pay too much. But Senate Bill 58... 8 would remove criminal penalties for possession and personal use of a limited use of natural psychedelics, including magic mushrooms.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So if this goes into place, what happens to the people who are actually currently being like incarcerated for this? Do they get set free or do they still have to continue serving their sentence?
There's very few people that are you like if you're still if you got arrested, same thing with weed. They like kind of just expunge your record.
Okay, but that's more for white people than it is for people of color.
Yeah, they'd let, like, if you're in jail for like, you know, an eighth of shrooms, yeah, they're gonna let you go. You're not in jail for an eighth of shrooms. They're gonna give you like a ticket or tell you to throw it away.
So if you are in jail, they will release you.
Most likely, yes. I'm not a lawyer, so, you know, do not take my word for it. But yeah.
It's low-key fucked up if they make this thing and then they don't release the people who are incarcerated for it.
There was a dude that spent 2 years in jail for having two joints. He's the first dude.
So dumb.
It's super dumb. Okay, we'll continue.
But yeah, it removed criminal penalties for the possession and use of psilocybin. Psilocybin, and mescaline, DMT, and just other shit like that. Probably not LSD.
Because LSD is acid, right? Like, yes. It's different?
Yeah. You know, California veterans, first responders, and others struggling with PTSD, depression, and addictive, you know.
Mushrooms instead of brain drugs, please and thank you.
Yeah, they're great.
Oh, my God.
So hopefully this goes through. That way fucking Colorado and California will be like, yay. And then people can stay the fucking California. But on to the next story.
So how long will it take acid to get legalized?
It'll never get legalized.
It won't? Why not?
I can almost guarantee you it will never. Because mushrooms you can grow,
mm-hmm.
DMT you can grow, ayahuasca you can grow. It's a natural medicine,
mm-hmm.
Same as like marijuana, but DMT LSD has to be made in a lab.
Oh.
So.
Oh, then yeah, okay, yeah. Well, Okay, that's something that needs like certifications, like seals and stuff, if that's going to be homemade.
Yeah, you can't really home. You can home make fucking ass. It's not worth it. So. But on to the next story. Dating app Grindr loses nearly half of its staff trying to force a return to the office.
Fuck yeah, stand up for yourselves.
Do you know what Grindr is?
Well, yeah, they were.
Yeah, it's like Tinder, but for gay dudes, right?
Yeah.
See, I knew what it was. I wasn't 100% sure, but I knew what it was.
Well, I mean, it's for gay women, and it's for, like, the...
Oh, I suppose... Oh, yeah. Aww.
It's for everybody.
Yeah. No, I feel bad now.
I
just thought it was just for dudes, because Grindr's, like, a really masculine word for me.
Scruff is, like, just for dudes.
Scruffing? Really?
No, scruff.
Oh.
That's just the name
like
of the...
Like a dog?
Like scruff. Like,
yeah.
Like a beard.
Like a scruffly dog?
Like scruffy.
Scruffly.
I don't know. I don't fucking have the app.
It sounds better with the L though.
Let me go in here and let me look up. This is gonna fuck up my whole shit too.
Oh, your poor algorithm.
Rough. Yeah. Yeah. Fucking gay chat and match.
Like that sounds like it should be more for like a BDSM site.
No, it's just for, like, fucking, you know, like, hairier dudes, I guess.
So bears?
Yeah.
Ew, that's ugly. Ew, that dude's ugly.
It is hot.
No, what? No. Why do people think six pats are hot?
No, it's just...
They're so weird.
This is for me.
So you think six packs are nice?
No, I like...
Courtney, do you think six packs are nice?
Yeah.
I love a good six pack of beer.
Mm.
So yeah, fucking,
I will accept that from you.
All the fucking Grindr, you know, guys and girls and people have to return to the office. Approximately 80 of the Grindr's 178 workers were forced to leave. And many of their workers were hired remotely and required to relocate to new hub cities.
Fuck? Wait. They hired this person as a work from home and they'll expect them to just uproot and move to New York?
To one of the hub cities. So New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C.
Because everyone has the money to just up and do that and are totally fine leaving their friends and family behind.
How about this, Grindr? Just fucking fire the fucking people and then hire new people that live there if you want to have office. Like, this is something I've never really understood. Why do you need a fucking office? Just to fucking look at the fucking people, to spend a bunch of money to, you know, have a space where you can work when you can easily fucking work and you have been fucking successfully working from home. If someone is not fucking, you know, putting up their numbers that they should be or getting the work done that they should be getting done, and you have that ability to fucking check in, hey, this is your fucking job for the day, get this fucking work done. Or this is your job for the week, or this is your job for the month, get this done. And if you're able to do that from home, fucking awesome. I feel like companies that now require fucking people to come back to the office should have to, you know, fucking pay for their gas, pay for their fucking travel to and from fucking work.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, this is how it was when I was in North Dakota. Like, there is a spot that I get to, you know.
This was also, like, what, 10, 12 years ago?
10, 12 years ago. It was a long time.
It was a long time ago. That's my point.
So I'd get to a spot that we'd all meet. I'd leave my fucking car there. We'd all fucking pile in a van. And from the second I was at that fucking van, I was getting paid. And it was like an hour and a half fucking trip from that van. It was like it was like 10 minutes down the fucking road to the van from where I was. But like an hour and a half in the fucking van to get out to the fucking job site. And I was paid for every fucking second of just sitting there fucking diddling on my phone. So.
That's nice. But also, you were working out like in an oil field. Like, certain stuff that needed to happen was happening.
I was fucking fixing berms.
Yeah.
unlike, you know, things that, like, just burnt off shit. It wasn't, none of it was hard work. And it was, like, nice temperatures, nice days outside. And it was, like, easy as fuck work. But, yeah, every fucking company, like, if...
Yeah, if they want all this extra bullshit.
If you're able to do your job from home, you know, just fine, then, you know, let them work from home. And if you want them to come into an office, guess what? You have to fucking pay for their gas, for their travel, for all that shit.
Well, and also, like, if the employee is, like, it's one thing if they're single. If they're, like, if they're, like, a partner or something, there's kids involved, like, uprooting their entire life like that is nowhere near possible being compensated for.
Now, quit it. You know, just quit your job over there, Grindr. That
sucks. You can't expect that. That's bullshit of them. Of course they should.
Oh, quit their job at Grindr? Yeah. Quit it.
Straight up.
And then, you know, have Grindr fucking sit there and struggle.
So what's Grindr doing? Like, go down this thing. All we've done is basically base off of the...
Well, yeah, no. Approximately 80 of the Grindr's workers, 178 workers, were, you know, forced to leave. And many of the... We're fucking, yeah, and that, the CWA said the return to work policy was retaliatory in response to a union drive at the company. Just 2 weeks prior to Grindr's policy change, a majority of the employees filed to organize a union. Rather than recognize the union, the company issued a new return to office policy requiring staff to relocate or quit.
The fuck?
The CWA said in a statement the union has filed an unfair labor practice charge against Grindr with the National Labor Retaliation Board.
Fuck Relations yeah.
Board.
What the shit?
A Grindr spokesperson said the claims of the union have no merit.
This just got so much more time better. But see, like, this is why, like, it's...
Yeah, this is why fucking, you know, no one has a job. Because they need to fucking get to it. Now, if you can have a job that you can just work from fucking home, and it's like, well, we don't want them to fucking be able to do whatever they want on our time as we're paying for them. It's like, no, you're paying for them to get a fucking job done. If they get that fucking job done in 3 hours and you fucking assigned it for 8, cool. Fucking guess what? They are so good at their job that they got, you know, paid for 5 hours for doing nothing.
They are worth their expertise and time.
Honestly, and let's be real. If they were in the office, they'd just be doing busy work.
Yeah.
They'd be fucking each other in the bathrooms and doing coke off the fucking countertops.
Yeah. No, they're not going back to a healthy work environment to begin with.
Mm-hmm. And now it's going to push that fucking union even fucking further. And you watch what happened to UPS. And now guess what? You know, all the fucking UPS guys are getting paid like $50 an hour. You really want to fucking push your luck and see how far you can fucking get? Or, oh, wait, you're going to fucking lose all your goddamn ad revenue.
Yeah.
That sucks. But whatever. You know, I don't use Grindr. It's very easy to find gay people. Find men that have nice shoes, clean fingernails, and beautiful eyes. My fingernails, not that clean. My shoes, dirty as fuck. Straight. Like, they fucking peg me from across the room. What?
Scroll down, I'm still reading.
My wife is like... Blah, blah,
she
blah,
had
blah.
To go pee.
No, she's, like, fucking reading further into this fucking thing.
Yeah, I got intrigued once I realized that this was, like, super sneaky and underhanded.
Yeah, everything is super sneaky and underhanded.
I hate being reminded of that.
So, Courtney, are you familiar with the one chip challenge?
The one what?
One chip.
Isn't that like the super hot chip or something?
Yes, that is it.
Oh.
So it is an insanely spicy...
Someone die?
Yeah.
What?
A teenager's death leads to the outpouring of concern over spicy chip challenge after sales are halted.
Wow.
How'd the person die?
Well, I'm about to read.
Okay.
The death of a Massachusetts teenager after his family said he ate an insanely spicy tortilla chip, led to an outpouring of concern about the social media challenge and prompted retailers to pull the product from their shelves at the manufacturer's request. The family of Harris Woloba held a vigil Friday after his death on September 1st to remember the basketball-loving 10th grader while they await the results of an autopsy to determine what killed him.
Oh, so we don't have autopsy results yet.
The family blamed the one-chip challenge for the teen's death. The challenge calls for participants to eat an eponymously named chip to see how long they can go without consuming any other food or water. The family declined interview requests. Police say they were called to a home on September 1st while they found him unresponsive and not breathing. He was transported to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. The state's medical examiner said it will likely take weeks before the cause of death is determined, but the chip's manufacturer, Papqui, has asked retailers to stop selling the product. People have been weighing about their own experiences with the chips, which cost roughly $10 and comes individually wrapped in foil in a coffin-shaped box that warns, among other things, it is made for the vengeful pleasure of intense heat and pain, and is intended for adults and should be kept out of the reach of children. Despite their warnings, children have had no problem buying the chip.
People never read the warnings.
A 10-year-old Florida girl was suspended this week for bringing one to her school. Her father, Deanton Patrick, told West Palm Beach Television six children at the Forest Park Elementary School needed medical attention after coming in contact with the chip Wednesday. Jesus Christ. Patrick said the 12-year-old bought the chip at a Walgreens on Tuesday, but the boy's mother made him throw it away. And his daughter, though, fished it out of the garbage and brought it to school. Yep.
Well.
So it could have nothing to do with the fucking chip at all.
Yeah, I want to know if he has any other, like...
medical conditions and shit like that.
I'm sure he had a heart condition that was
like heart or lungs, like something that was easily triggered by this chemical compound being introduced to the body. It's not just the chip.
Yeah, trust me, like, I remember I was in North Dakota, and one of the guy's mugs, he brought in, like, pure fucking, like, spicy, like, capsaicin, I think it's called.
Caspian?
Something. It's something C word. I can actually look it up.
Like the king.
Spicy chemical. That fucking word. Capsaicin.
Oh.
Capsaicin. I'm just going to call it capsaicin. I don't fucking care if you hate my fucking pronunciation.
You hit the lips icon and it says the word.
Oh my God. I don't care what it's called.
I need closure.
Oh my God. Fucking. There's no fucking lips at all.
Oh, because you're using Google, huh?
Capsaicin.
Capsaicin.
There you go. Are you fucking happy now?
I am very happy. Thank you
I'm
so much.
I'm unhappy now. So, yeah.
You love me.
No, I don't. I'm just fucking forced to be with you because I married you.
Yes.
And now it's too late to back out.
Oh, it's way too late to back out.
So, yeah, he brought in like a fucking vial of this shit. And gave everyone one drop on a spoon. We all had a plastic spoon, and we all had to fucking, you know, eat it. And I remember one kid, Mark, fucking running around like, and like throwing up and shit.
Was Mark white?
Yeah, of course.
Of course, continue.
And another dude, Khan, who was like some fucking, you know, like Mexican-Asian thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Khan wasn't his full name. That's just as much as I can pronounce of it. So we all just called him Khan.
It's a badass name.
K-H-A-N, yeah.
It means emperor.
Yeah, no, he was a fucking emperor. Because this motherfucker took this spoon, put it right on his fucking tongue, after watching all the fucking Dumble, she's like, yeah, that's kind of spicy. And just fucking got back to work without fucking getting water or whatever the fuck. I'm like, holy shit, Con. I'm like sitting there fucking, you know, Charlie 40 hands into like two cups of water, you know, slowly drinking one as I fill the other. I'm just like, I'm like, just quickly switch. And it's like a constant stream of fucking water is just going over my tongue and diluting this. Like, I haven't peed clear since that day. Like, it's just like the cleanest. I could have probably just drank that fucking piss straight out. Oh. So yeah, don't eat a fucking chip made as spicy unless you enjoy fucking retarded decision. I don't feel bad for this kid. And fucking good news, there's apparently a parent and Ruby Frankie and the business partner. They had a Mormon YouTube channel.
No, I know precisely who this is.
And they're gonna remain in. Okay, so for everyone that doesn't. They were abusing their children, you know, behind the scenes and kind of in front of the scenes on a YouTube channel that I've never seen because I don't give a fuck. And they taped like their son's legs together, her and her business partner taped like the son's legs together and like fucking like locked him in the room. He escaped, went to the fucking, you know, neighbor's house and, you know, fucking banged on the door. He's like, hey, I need fucking food. I need food, water, and. You know, he's all fucking beaten up and shit and malnourished. And, yeah, so the mom and, like, the business partner immediately went to jail. And now they're going to remain in jail. And
praise the fucking Lord.
I hope they rot in fucking jail.
Thank you. Oh, I was so worried they were going to get out. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, so Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt, you know, 41 and 54, were charged with 6 felony counts of aggravated child abuse after their arrest on August 30th. Yeah, wow. Fuck these bitches.
Yeah. Ew. Poor baby.
Yeah, hopefully the kids fucking do awesome now.
They need therapy. They'll need
hopefully
a lot of therapy.
Hopefully they have some other family that's not fucked up like their mom.
Yeah. No, they're fucking like filming everything and doing like a reality show.
Need lots of therapy.
So, Morocco earthquake. I don't know if y'all heard about this, but there's a big ass earthquake, and about over 2,000 people have now died.
Shit.
Yeah, it was a crazy ass earthquake. Like this, I saw this video, and like there's like two guys sitting here, and like a big ass fucking chunk of the building like fell right where they were sitting, and like they had ran away like seconds before. I'm like, oh, shit. So, yeah, magnitude 6.8 hit a crash. I don't know how to fucking say that name. The epicenter,
I can say it badly, which is Marrakesh.
Harakesh.
Marrakesh.
The epicenter was the Atlas High Mountains, south, you know, 44 miles southwest of the city. So, yeah. My heart goes out to them. That sucks. That, you know, big-ass earthquake came through and fucked up your entire shit. You know, but be glad it wasn't us. Like, it could have been America that came over and fucked up your entire shit. And it would have been much more than 2,000, and then we would have fucking buried the news story. Because we're America.
My God, we need more predators.
And then
I think the virus is doing a good job.
The virus needs to do more of a job.
Yeah, it did a piss pass or piss. Ugh.
And so
piss ass. There we go.
A Florida man was arrested. And always we have to like end like the news stories with Florida man was arrested at sea for floating in his hamster wheel. And he said he was on his way to London. And this isn't, like, the first time he's ever done this shit. I think he's done this, like, 4 other times. This specific dude, yes.
Has been trying to swim to London.
And this fucking, you know, whole ass, like, little hamster wheel floaty fucking thing.
Oh, I finally understand what we are talking about. I was like, do they make hamster wheels that big and it's plastic? Would it float like that?
Yeah.
Like, I have been related to the cardboard box for too many sentences.
It's like the ride the zipper at carnivals.
Oh my
where
God.
It's like a cage. You're like, just imagine like a...
I love that one.
That was hands down.
That was my favorite.
Oh,
imagine the zipper with fucking like buoys on each side, like fucking floaties. And like that's what he is essentially in. But yeah, Reza Baluchi was spotted by the U.S. Coast Guard 70 nautical miles east of the Tybee Island, Georgia. And apparently when they're like, hey, fucking, they went to go arrest him. He had a 12-inch knife and threatened to kill himself. And he claimed that there was a bomb on the ship.
What?
And he led them on a multi-day chase as they coordinated with the U.S. Navy to ensure safety from a potential bomb detonation.
What the fuck?
What?
And on the third day, August 28th, the U.S. this UCSG attempted to deliver food and water to him and warned about the hurricane Idyla. He refused to leave the vessel again, but told officers the bomb was not real. He disembarked the next day and was brought ashore September 1st. And he now faces a criminal complaint of obstruction of a boarding and violation of a captain of the port order. Yeah, he did the same fucking thing in a similar vessel in 2014, 2016, and 2021.
Why'd they try again? They should have just let him go on.
Yeah, just let him die. Who cares? Like, there's not enough room for all the food he needs for that trip.
Why did they believe that he had a bomb? I don't understand why they believed that.
Because you just have to take that fucking shit seriously.
Oh my God, that's pretty funny.
And then they catch him and he's like, yeah, the bomb's not real.
In 2021, he attempted to travel from Florida to New York in the homemade vessel. He washed ashore 25 miles later. He's like, shit. Let him, like, what they should have done was, like, you know, taking him further out, because I'm thinking he's like, you know, in international waters at that point, and just like, you know, kind of like pushed him further out and like, good luck, bud. You're 200 miles out now. And then just like, fuck. You know, I have to like now deal with all this bullshit.
My mom once told me when she was working on the cruise ships, like 90% of the crew were all like criminals because like it was super hard to catch someone once they started working on a cruise ship because they're never in one place for too long.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like they have to like, you know, confirm with the cruise ship, you know, that person is working and they, you know, have to, you know, it's just too much fucking work. And by the time they get, you know, okay, where's this cruise ship going to this fucking port? Okay, we have to communicate with them. Okay, yeah, we'll fucking get around to it. Oh, yeah, they already left. Yeah, there's a ton of criminals who work on cruise ships. It's great. And they're fucking awesome people. So, now and on to Am I the Asshole? Am I the Asshole by Far Concentrate 3743. I hate fucking numbers and names. Stop that. Am I the asshole? I have stage 4 cancer, and I say no shit to what I thought was in-laws' weirder and sensitive comments. I have stage 4 cancer with young kids and a wife. Probably going to die within 1 to 2 years. So my fuse is shortened with certain people. My in-laws say to me, it must be so hard for you and your family and what your family is going through. I just want you to know that this is not your fault. They have said something similar before, and I just say, I know, and moved on. This time, I couldn't take it, and I said, No shit. It's pretty obvious I didn't deserve cancer. I know it's not my fault for getting it. She became upset and told a few people I was rude to her. Should I apologize? Am I misunderstanding the point she was trying to make? The only way I can think of it, that it could be in people's minds is that it's my fault for getting cancer and making things so hard for my young family. I'm young, lived a healthy life. Not that I deserve cancer even if I didn't, so I don't get it. Am I being overly sensitive? Was she just looking for a goodwill hunting moment? Honestly, don't get her point. What?
Okay, so OP has cancer, right? So OP has done like chemo and radiation, I'm assuming.
Uh-huh.
That shit changes the chemistry in your brain. Like they've noticed like certain studies, they've been paying attention to how like, cause like being on like radiation, like it changes like your brain synapses. Like these people are more prone to getting irritated quickly. They perceive threats differently. Like it really fucking changes like the actual chemistry of their brain. So like from my point of view, no one's the asshole because OP's brain is just dealing with the trauma of having chemo and radiation. And also, therapy should be provided to all cancer patients, especially terminally ill patients, I think should have therapy. So this is also just like a complete inability to deal with the trauma of what OP's going through. So nobody's the asshole. The mother-in-law is trying. It wasn't on purpose, but also OP's brain has changed. They're way more reactive, and something that she might mean well is 100% going to come across against them because again their brain chemistry's changed. Like
no fucking
it fucks your brain up.
How about you know being more fucking sensitive? Like imagine like going to like the parents of like you know like somebody that like had like their kid in like a school shooting and their kid died and it's like it's not your fault that your kid died. No shit, it's not my fault my kid died. It's like, it's just an insensitive comment, and they didn't think about it before they just fucking start, you know, splurting off with their tongue. And it's like, yeah, it's not your fault.
I mean, what else were they supposed to say, though?
It's like, damn, that fucking sucks. Like, that's all you can say. It's like when you have, like, a family member die, it's like no one can say anything that's going to make it better. It's like, whatever I can do. Can you bring my dad back to life? Oh, no. Then shut the fuck up. You know, like, let me fucking deal with the shit on my own. Like, if I knew I was going to die in a year or two, and someone's like, oh, it's not your fault that you're going to die in a year or two. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, no, it probably is, because I'm a fat fucking piece of shit. Yeah, like, I'd make them feel even more awkward.
Like, I feel like this statement, like, it's kind of like a blanket statement. So, like, a lot of times people, like, okay. So, like, the kindest thing someone ever once told me is I told them I'd had my nightmare disorder. And, like, we were end of the day, and, like, it just been a rough day. And she looked at me and she said, I hope you have at least less peaceful dreams tonight. And, like, that is hands down one of the nicest things someone has ever said to me. Someone's like, okay, well, I hope you feel better, like, after a good night's sleep. This person, like, she understood that not only were my nightmares going to be worse than normal because I was dealing with the trauma of the day, like, she understood that, and she couldn't wish it okay, but she could wish me for it to be lessened.
Like, if I had a friend with stage 4 cancer, and, you know, they knew they were going to die, I'm like, damn, that sucks, but, like, anything that your family needs, you know, now or, you know, after you're gone, I'm here for you.
But the problem with that thing is, like, you ask them whatever you need, but this individual, they don't know what they need.
I know, but, like, so when you come across something that you need, you fucking let me know. I'm there for you. Like if Ben had fucking cancer and you know, came to me and was like, dude, I have cancer just like my mom, and I'm gonna fucking, you know, die in, like, 2 years. I'm gonna be like, damn, that fucking sucks. But whatever you or your family needs, you know, because I can't fucking change the outcome of the cancer. It ain't no Lorenzo's oil story. I don't know if you know the story of Lorenzo's oil. It's a fucking story of, like, parents that had, like, a kid with, like, some weird disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the father and the mother fucking became scientists to find out how to cure their son. And it was like some fucking like vegetable oil that like saved their son. I'm sure like I'm butchering the story bad, but like their son ended up being okay because like they became scientists and they got like the Nobel Peace Prize for it, which is really cool.
That is cool. But so I once read this thing where this chick had like kids, she lost her husband, and like so many friends were just like, let me know whatever you need, we can provide it. And then she had this one friend who just like showed up with like groceries, and by groceries they were like easy meals. She could just pop in the oven. She didn't like have to make things. She brought like pre-chopped stuff, so like she could make meals for her children, and they were going to be super easy on her. Like she didn't know what she needed to ask for until someone was able to provide help without her needing to identify her needs, because even in that situation, your brain is just so completely fucked up. There's no way you're going to be able to like verbalize exact needs. Like there's a difference between like, say, I'll help you, but I need you to tell me how to help you, versus like, here I'm doing something to help that isn't going to affect you, but it's going to help your effect on the people around you, and it's going to make your burden easier. It's not going to make your emotional burden easier, but it's going to do something at least physical.
In the Mexican community, at least from what I've seen, like if you have someone that dies, you bring them food. Bring them fucking, you know, already cooked fucking food in like, you know, your Pyrex dish. You know, and if they don't want to answer the door, you can just, like, leave it on the fucking front porch.
Exactly.
They'll fucking come get it.
Yeah.
And like, you invite, you know, the family out. Be like, hey, let's go for a walk. Let's go do something fun. Let's do something to get your mind off of the fact that, you know, you're about to die, or you just had a family member fucking die. You know, instead of just being like, it's not your fault. This ain't no fucking, you know, goodwill. Like, I understand exactly the Good Will Hunting moment, you know, because in the movie, they're like, it's like, it's not your fault. What? Get away from me. It's not your fault. Get away. And then, like, he starts, like, hugging him. He's like, it's not my fault. Yeah, it's stupid. Like, if I had cancer and I was going to die, and someone's like, it's not your fault, I'd be like, no, it was 100%. I make them feel awkward. I'd be like, it's your fault then. You're the one that did this to me. You monster. Hey, everyone, this is the guy that gave me cancer. And just like there's no way I could take it fucking seriously. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to die. Oh, well, I'm fucking past my prime anyway. Jesus died this age. And he did more cool shit. But whatever. Relationship advice. By Throw R.A. Yes, her dad. My 48 male daughter, 19 female, tried to hurt herself after she found out she's not biologically mine. How do I help her understand that I'm still her father and her existence is the best thing in my life? My little girl thinks her existence is evil. We recently found out that her mother, my wife of 23 years, cheated on me when the man claiming to be your biological father showed up on our doorstep demanding to see her and claiming he didn't know she existed. It's been quite possibly the worst few weeks of my life, but she took it so much worse than I did. She calls herself a bastard. She won't talk to her siblings or her mother and only apologizes to me. I don't give a fuck if she's half T-Rex. I love her with every bone in my body. And she tried to take her life last night. My wife found her. She's going to be okay, but that can't happen again. I can't talk to anyone about this. I don't want my family to know. I don't know what she needs. Please help. TLDR, my daughter's not mine. She tried to hurt herself. How do I help her? That's rough. As someone that, you know, has like an adoptive father, you know, I can't really even, you know, this is like above Reddit's pay grade, but I'm gonna say go to therapy. You know, take her out, have a heart to heart with her.
Yeah.
Just be like, hey, you know, I understand that, you know, this is hard on you. And you think this is hard on me, but you are still, you know, mine. You know, if I pick up a watch off the ground, I don't care if 9 guys wore it before me and it was ran over by a car and stepped on. If this is still a good working watch, I'm going to still wear it. It's my watch now. You know, it's like if I get a cat that, you know, used to be a Walmart fucking cat, it's, you know, my cat now. It's like, you are my daughter. And it's like, yeah, that sucks. But, you know, like, go to therapy with her, you know, like, show her that, like, despite everything, you know, you still want her more than anything. And it's really difficult to, you know, get that point across because you're like, fuck, I'm the reason. Like, you know, in your daughter's head, she's like, I'm the reason why everything's about to fucking crash. I'm, you know, the reason why mom and dad are about to get a fucking divorce. I'm the reason why everything is, you know, going to be, you know, destroyed, and I'm better, you know, off gone. And like that's, you know, like the fucking mentality, and it's difficult to, you know, shake someone out of a mentality that's like, hey, everything's still fine. The world still turns. And even if you're not mine, you're still mine. And it's like, I couldn't imagine the world without you.
That's so sad.
It's fucking terribly sad. But, you know, I really, really fucking hope that everything, you know, works out. Everything gets fucking better. You know, that you can all, you know, get over this. Like, I don't even know if he fucking, let's see what the comments say. AJ Raxon. First of all, make sure you tell her this. She likely feels that this is her fault in the way. She needs reassurance. That's what I said.
Like you.
That existence is a blessing to you regardless of her mother's actions. Additionally, therapy, both individually and family, you two, but also perhaps the other children as time progresses, if needed. Above all, just be there for her and tell her as many times as she needs to hear it that you love her. He said, I've been trying my best. Emotions are difficult for me. I've been telling her how much I love her and I'm glad she was born every day. I will never stop telling her how much I love her. I'm worried that she thinks I'm lying because she just keeps apologizing for being alive. I don't know what to say to make her understand. Yeah, it's like finding out that, you know, your entire life was a lie. You know, finding out that your dad is not like your dad. And like that, it's, you know, finding out that your dad just like never wanted you is kind of a shitty feeling. And I get that. I've never met my biological father. I'm 32. And I've gotten over that. I'm like, yeah, whatever. He's a piece of shit. Fuck him. Yeah, I mean, you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just having a trauma moment over here. Actually, I need to go wash my face.
I'm gonna go pee while you're over there.
Oh my goodness.
And then I got also a 2 hot takes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll fucking finish off with this one. My fiance is asking questions about my sex life. I don't want to lie, but I need to know the best way to answer him honestly without hurting him. My fiance also uses Reddit and has things I posted before, and I don't want him to see this. This is by Baskin Robbins. My fiance is trying to, you know, tell me that he is the best lover of my best lover. My fiance has been trying to tell me to get me to tell him I'm the best lover he's ever had. From purely a physical sexual chemistry, this isn't exactly the case. Of course, I've had sex with him so much, I'm going to commit to sex with him for the rest of my life. We have a very active sex life, and we both have a lot of fun. That's enough for me. Fun, loving sex is all I want in a relationship. I've had amazing sex before. So apparently this lady has had way better fucking mind-blowing sex, and her fiancé is getting jealous. Like, that's just the TLDR of it. When he asked me if I'm the best, I've been telling him that I don't compare sexual partners, which I don't typically do, and that I love having sex with them, which leads to more probing questions, which I do my best to dodge. I'm sure my best way to give him an honest answer. So, this lady has had some great sex, and there already is an update on it, too.
Yep.
Let's just go right on over to, let's see, based on how you describe your sex life with him, tell him he's the best for you. My wife's the best I've ever been with, even if she's not. Catch my drift? Yeah, lie to him. You just lie.
Lie.
So I'll get on with the update, just to make a few things clear first. For the hundreds of incels and incel-adjacent men telling him, I'm settling for my fiancé. Kindly get some help. I'm not settling for him. He is not my meal ticket. In fact, I earn him by a decent amount. I'm his meal ticket. The presumption, just because I've had better sex than him, I'm not... So, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Jesus Christ. If you're focusing on her pleasure, you're already doing better than 80% of men. Chances are, if you're not the best, but you have really good sex, you're pretty damn close. So on to the update. So yesterday, the question came back again. I wanted to tell him I wanted to have an open discussion about the question before I had evaded answering because genuinely needed time to think about it. First, I told him I didn't want to sleep with any man anymore except him for the rest of my life. I told him if I couldn't have sex with him and only him, I wouldn't have sex with anyone again, which is true. Next, I told him I would never choose a relationship based solely on how good the sex was and that being an amazing lover is worthless if I don't feel emotionally cared for. That being emotionally cared for transforms sex into something completely different and that is something I want above all else in bed. Someone I feel emotionally cared for makes me feel safe and sexy and above all else loved. Here's where I lose people. I gave him an honest answer. I told him I've had experiences that are exceptionally good due to factors outside of skill in bed. However, when I look back on those experiences, they aren't something I want anymore. I want him. So, yeah. You know, they've decided to book a cruise for the holidays. And they can do three things they've never done before. Go on a cruise, visit another country, and fuck each other in a cruise ship.
And plus, like, they can learn what each other likes and have better sex.
Yeah, I mean, between me and my wife, I'm like, yeah, my wife's the best. You know, it shouldn't start out the best. You know, but now she's gotten there. Now she's gotten enough practice.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Trust me. You know, like, back in the day, it was bad. I'm like, all right, you know, a little bit of training. Got her whipped up in a tip-top shape. And now if I, like, send her out in the wild, I'm like, oh, no. She's going to, like, catch a millionaire.
Oh, my God.
But that's it for this week. Follow me Instagram and X or whatever. Alex's truck everywhere. And yeah, we'll see you all next week. Bye.
Bye.